Tonight's topic is Kohanim and the World Trade Center Memorial Museum. The Torah tells us in this week's Seder, the beginning of Parshas Amor, Amor LaKohanim Bnei Aaron, LeNefesh Lo Yitamav Bamav, that a Kohen is not permitted to be Mitameh LaNefesh. As you see in the Associated Press article at the beginning of the Mar Makomos handout, about 2 years ago, there were some 14,000 pieces of remains of unidentified victims of the World Trade Center tragedies that were buried, or interned rather, in a depository in the bottom below ground level floor of the now open World Trade Center Memorial Museum. So what we need to discuss is what potential ramifications does it have for entry of Kohanim into that floor of the museum, into the museum as a whole.
Is there a museum in the bottom of the current World Trade Center, or is it a separate building structure?
It's a separate structure. It's the site of the old World Trade Center. Okay. So for purposes of our presentation tonight, I will basically present the arguments that were written in a very nice quintus by Rav Yitzhak Stein. Rav Yitzhak Stein is the Rosh HaBezdin, a dayan in the Bezdin of Rav Yechezkel Roth. I once co-officiated again with him. He's a very upstanding person, fine Talmid Chacham, and a prolific author. So when the news broke about these matters, Ms. Askim arranged for a meeting with various Rabbanim and the museum leadership, and they discussed all these issues. And in the aftermath of that meeting, Rav Stein wrote a kuntis, which I have now in the final Madura. I went through a few Maduras. He wrote a kuntis explaining the issue. So what I will present to you tonight are basically the Rashi Prakim of his kuntis. It's a little bit of introductory and background information, but I'm not going to be presenting my own arguments. It doesn't come from any independent research. I'm totally relying on what Rav Stein writes in his kuntis over here. So we know...
Did you cover the World Trade Center as well?
I'm sorry?
Also the World Trade Center?
Well, that's not the issue here. You're concerned about Sada Shenech Veshbames?
You have the same. Yeah.
Right, so he does a little bit. We don't have time to go into that this evening. Okay, so we know that the Isser of a Kohen being Mitame Lemes has various flavors. There's an Isser of Tumas Mago. A Kohen's not allowed to come in direct contact with the dead body. There's an Isser of Tumas Masa. He can't lift up a dead body. And there's an Isser of Tumas Oel. He can't be in the same room, the same dwelling, the same tent as a mace. He can't be mahil over the mace. The mace can't be mahil over him. And if you have adjacent rooms, if you have a window that's a paseh tefach between one room and another room, under many circumstances, the tumma could be nisfashed from one room into another room. So these are all the issue that we'll be dealing with now, are the potential tumas ohel implications for the particular situation at hand. Now the other thing, just to throw out before we begin, is whether Mesei Akim or Mitame B'Tumas Ohel B'Chol is a major machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, it's a machlokas Rishonim, and it may be a machlokas L'Halacha. So if you take a look at the handout here, the Gemara in Yevamah Samach HaMivei Samach Aleph HaMid Aleph, the Gemara presents the position of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that Kivrei Akim Eina Mitame B'Ohel. There's no concern of Tumas Ohel when it comes to non-Jewish Kfar. Quote Psukim. Whether we pass like Shiva Yochai is machlokas Rishonim. If you take a look at the Rambam there in the previous citation, Hilchas Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, and Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam paskins Echad Meis Misolo Mina Akam Etame V'Magu B'Masa. So as far as Tumas Maga Masa, there's no distinction between Kivrei Yisrael and Kivrei Akum. The Eina Akum Etame B'Oel. However, there's no din of Tumas Oel when it comes to a non-Jew. The Dover Zek Kabbalahu V'Reyu Omer B'Melchemes Midyan Kol Nogeya B'Chalal. So there, in the one context we have in Chumash about Mesei Akum, there's no reference to Tumas Oel. So that's the Pesach of the Rambam, that we don't have to be concerned about Tumas Oel when it comes to Mesei Akum. If you take a look at Tosis and Netzog in Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, Diba Maschel, Mi Maga, Tosis assumes that we paskin lahalacha against Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that Kivrei Akum are in fact Mitamei Ba'Oel. And that is based on how you understand the Gemara in both Metziah Kufidal and Beis. The Gemara there seems to indicate there was an episode in which Eliyahu Navi, who was a Kohen, was Metame to Kivrei Akum. So the question is, was that because he held that in principle Kivrei Akum are not Metame but Tumas Oel, or was it because he was assuming that in that particular instance there was a Paseach Tefach and the Tumah wasn't Nispashe? So Tosus assumes that Mesei Akim Armitame Bitumas Oel. How do we paskin lalacha? So if you flip back to the Yoredeya part of the handout, take a look in Simin Shin Ayin Beis Se'if Beis. So Mechaber writes, Kivrei Akum Nachon Lizahir Hakoi Mi Lele Haleim. So it's appropriate for a Kohen to avoid avoid being Mahil over Kivrei Akum. So that sounds like it's appropriate, it's a good idea, but Mikra Adin, we paskin that Kivrei Akum are not Mitame B'Tumasol. And the Ramah adds, Af Vishesh Makilim. So Ram is Mekil across the board, you don't have to think twice. V'Nachon L'Hachmir. Ramah says it's appropriate to be Machmir. So that is our practice, that Kohanim generally are Machmir for Tumas Akum, Tumas Oel by Mesei Akum. If you look in the Sephardi Poskim, so because the Mechaber is more liberal about this, the Sephardi Poskim tend to be more liberal. If you look in Rav Avadya's farm, so he writes that there's much less reason to be concerned about Tumas Oel by Mesei Akum. But our whole discussion here assumes, if we're going to assume that the rove of the remains that we're talking about are Mesei Akum, and you would say that called the Parish Meruba Parish, so then our whole discussion presupposes, as is our practice, that we're Machmir for Tumas Oel by Kivrei Akum. Okay, so that is the Hakdama. What are the particular facts that we have in the World Trade Center Memorial Museum? So the way Rav Shayan presents it, again, I'm taking his word, which I have no reason to doubt, about the facts. He says, there are the two issues that you have to address. Number one, the status of the building. Number two, the status of the floor, which has the depository of the remains. So he writes that, based on information he was provided, there were fragments of over 1,000 unidentified fatalities of the World Trade Center event, including about 14,000 body parts, most of which are unidentified, some of which apparently were identified, but I guess because they were relatively small, the families wanted to keep them in this room with all the others and not to bury them separately. So that's the, those are the facts. So apparently there is this repository room that's 70 feet under the ground. All the remains are double wrapped in vacuum sealed packages, and those packages are put into plastic containers, and the plastic containers are put into wooden cabinets. And the wooden cabinets are all nailed in or permanently attached to the walls of this room. And then this room opens on two sides. On one side, the room opens, there's no door. On one side, there is a glass window that opens into a waiting room where families of victims are allowed to gather and look into the depository. And the other side, there's a door that goes into another hallway, that goes into another door, that goes into other parts of the museum. So in both directions, in order to get out, there are a minimum of three between the cabinet door and the actual doors. There are a minimum of three doors in either direction to get to any other place where a person would be able to find himself. Additionally, the museum represented that these three doors would never be opened at the same time. That's their internal policy. And in the unlikely event that either a relative of some of the identified remains would want to remove the remains for burial, or technology improves and they're able to identify some previously unidentified remains, to the extent that they would ever remove such remains, there is a firm internal policy that because of the sensitivity of Kavod HaMeis, Kavod HaChai, they would never remove remains during normal business hours. It would always be done at night when no one else is in the museum. Okay, so Rav Shayan has a number of snifim that all point to the same conclusion, that there's nothing to worry about as far as Kohanim in this museum. And we'll go through a number of the snifim that he presents. So each one of them, maybe on its own, wouldn't be 100% sufficient, but there's so many that there's so much in Mizarif that there's what, based on his presentation, there's what to rely on Bahar Vacha. Okay, so number one, the first question he addresses is it's a glass door which borders this room, and the exit from this room is through a glass door. So do we assume that glass is chotzeis b'fnei atuma? So would that glass prevent the tumah from being nispashet outside of the room? So we paskin, if we take a look in the Ramah in the end of Simin Shin Ayin Aleph Sif Aleph. So the Ramah writes over there, Shin Ayin Aleph Sif Aleph. The first page here from the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes, V'chol davar ha-mekabel tumah eino chotis b'nei ha-tumah. So any material which itself could be mekabel tumah is not chotis b'nei ha-tumah. So at first glance, so it doesn't prevent the tumah from going out. At first glance, we would say that since glass is mekabel tumah, be it midrabanan. So since glass is mekabel tumah, so we should say that the glass is not chotis b'nei ha-tumah, and then the tumah would be nispashed out even through the glass. However, he points out that there's a tosefta that says that pshute kli zechuches are not mekabel tumah. So even though glass is mekabel tumah mi derabanan, that's only true by glass that has a clay kibbol that has a receptacle that can contain something inside. But if it's pshute kli zechuches, if it's just flat, if there's nothing that could contain anything, so then it's not a regular kli that's a container. So then it's not mekabel tumah mi derabanan. So if you assume like that, so then the glass door would be chotis b'fnei ha-tumah. Then he has another point, which is the representation is, and they went and saw whatever they could see there, that there are double doors. In order for you to access this room, you have to go through a series of double doors. So that's a discussion in the poskim, that are double doors, chotis b'fnei ha-tumah, if they're not open at the same time. So even if the one door itself, in theory, would not be chotis b'fnei ha-tumah, if you have double doors, it definitely, if the double doors are both going to be closed at the same time, or one of them is going to be closed at the same time, so then he quotes the tshuva with another Behuda, Simin Tzadi Dalit, that's not a problem as well. And anyway, here we're talking about a Safek Tumma Rishis Arabim. Why is it a Safek Tumma Rishis Arabim? Safek Tumma Rishis Arabim Sveko Tar. So we're making on a Safek Tumma Rishis Arabim. It's not Rishis Arabim, it's indoors. So he quotes Mar Makomos that when we talk about the definition of Rishis Arabim, Rishis Ayachid for Safek Tumma, it's not the same as the definition of Rishis Arabim, Rishis Ayachid for Shabbos. We know what Rishis Arabim, Rishis Ayachid for Shabbos is, but when it comes to Tumma, it's a matter of public access. So if it's an area that's open to the public, that is the din of Rishis Arabim, even if Hilchos Shabbos may have a din of Rishis Ayachid. So the fact that, anyway, we're talking about a Safek Tumma, Rishis Arabim, which is Sveiko Tor, you can throw that into the mix of the equation also as another reason Lehakel. Okay, then he quotes a position of the Chavis Das based on a Shach, that to the extent that we're machmir for Tumas Ohel by Kivrei Yakum, so that itself is also Machlokas Rishonim, so the Ramah is machmir on Tumas Ohel for Mesei Yakum, but that's only true, says the Chavis Das, for the Ohel itself where the Mesei is to be found. But as far as the din of Hamshacha, as far as the din of the Tumah being transferred to another room, so even if in Hilchas Tumah there is the possibility for Hamshacha that the you don't have something chotis from the Tumah, the Tumah can be transferred, that din doesn't apply to Mesei Yakum. The Chumrah of Bimachmir for Tumah Sol Mesei Yakum only applies in the room itself. Then he talks about the air conditioner ducts. So maybe if there's an air conditioning system and there are ducts that are bigger than a Pesach Tefach, so then the Tumah could get out that way. So he writes that when they were designing this room, there was some consultation with Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim advised that they make sure that the air conditioning ducts in this room not open up to any other part of the museum, they open up to some other unused area. And apparently that was the case, so they don't open up to any other part of the museum, and the holes themselves are not Pasach Tefach. So between all that, he says, there's nothing to be concerned about regarding the air conditioning ducts. Okay, and then an additional reason the kula is the fact that the remains are contained, we said, in plastic containers and wooden closets. So wooden closet, the Rambam Paskin's Hilchas Kalim Paragimel Halacha Aleph, that any kli eitz, which is immobile, a kli eitz that's so big it can't be moved, so here it can't be moved, number one, because it's so heavy, number two, because it's nailed into the ground and the wall, so any kli eitz that's not asur l'nachas that can't be moved is not mekabel tumah even midrabanan. So the fact that it's connected to the wall and the fact that it's so heavy makes it not able to be mekabel tumah even according to this position of the Rambam. The other major issue that he addresses is the question of Sof Tum Alatzes. What does Sof Tum Alatzes mean? So the Mishnais and Olav have a case, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. So the case in the Mishnah is about a bib, a sewer system, a pipe system, where you have a pipe coming into a house, going out of a house. So there's a discussion in the Mishnah. Yes, under what circumstances do we say Sof Tum Alatzes? Sof Tum Alatzes means that the tumma is going to be nispashed in the direction where the mace is going to end up going, where the davar tami is going to end up going. So what's this din of Sof Tum Alatzes? So there's actually machlokas rishonim about how far we take it. The Mechaber, as far as I am aware, does not quote the din of Sof Tum Alatzes at all in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. But if you take a look at the Ramah in Siman Shin Ayin Aleph Sif Dalid, it's the Ramah in the middle of Sif Dalid. The Ramah writes over here, the beginning on the bottom of one page in parentheses. I apologize. The Mechaber does say the following. The Mechaber says, Chaser amu kefes zizin v'achsadros tuma be'echem me'abatim. So you have a courtyard that's surrounded by various protrusions, and you have tuma in one of the houses in the courtyard. Im kol pischei abatim achalonos ne'ulim tuma yosei satachas hazizin v'achsadros. So if all the other doors are locked, and the only way for the tuma to get out is through these protrusions, so then the tuma goes out that way. And the Ramah says, what's that based on? So that's based on this notion of Sof Tum Alatzes. Ta'am Yishim Dehol V'Sof Tum Alatzes Derech Sham Rowin Ki'ilu Yatsa. Okay. V'lachein Yesh Machmirin L'Kohanim Leilich Derech Shara Ir She'Sof HaMeis Latzes Misham. Therefore, Kohanim are Machmir not to go out of the gate of the city, because when the mace is going to be brought to Kfura, they're going to leave the front gate of the city to go to the Beis HaKfaras. So l'chalchili should be machmir, but there are certain places that are minig not to. What's that based on? So everyone agrees there is some application of Sof Tum Alatzes. It may be even be a din d'oraisa according to some Rishonim. But does that din of Sof Tum Alatzes only apply to the first Pesach, the first doorway, the first exit point that the tumah is going to go out of? Or does it apply to any subsequent exit point? So the mace died in one house, so going out the front door, that would definitely be a problem with Sof Tum Alatzes according to everyone. But what about the Shara Ir? Or let's say you're in an apartment building. So the first exit is going to be the front door of the apartment. But then you have to take the mace out the down the elevator and out the front door of the whole building. So do you say Sof Tum Alatzes over there? So some of the Rishonim say, this is in the later Rishonim that the Ramah quotes, some of the Rishonim say that no, Ein Lecha Ba'al Chidusha, the whole din of Sof Tum Alatzes is hard enough to understand where that came from. So you can't extend it beyond what you know beferish in the Mishnayos. And other Rishonim, which is what the Ramah says, Lechachili should be Machmir for, assume that no, it applies even to the other doors. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's very difficult to be Machmir for this, because if you're in a big city, so then the Kohen will never go anywhere. Because he's talking about where you have adjacent houses that are all under the same kind of a roof, so then you have to be concerned anytime there's a mace that dies anywhere in that complex. But the same thing about an apartment building. You have hundreds of apartments, so anytime a mace dies anywhere in that complex, it's going to go out, so you can't go anywhere because of Sof Tum Alatzes.
Right, so the shiloh that a person dies in the control of one house.
Right.
And then through the pipes, through the piping house.
Right. So that's the original din of Sof Tum Alatzes is about piping. That's the Mishnah and Olos. The question is, does that there is talking about a very basic system where you have a single pipe going out of that house. Right. So then that's the question. So Ramah says, we're machmir on further applications of Sof Tum Alatzes. Rav Avadya writes that he's very makel about this wherever there's any tzarech, because the mechaber doesn't have this extra chumrah of the Ramah as far as Sof Tum Alatzes. So are we concerned over here about Sof Tum Alatzes? So maybe at some point the some of the remains are going to be taken out of this room and out of the building, so you have to be concerned about the whole route that the remains may take. So Stein points out a number of reasons to be makel over here. Number one, so according to many achronim, first of all, according to many, only say Sof Tum Alatzes for the original Pesach, like the Rosh Hashanah just said, like some of the Rishonim say. Number two, what if it's never going to leave? So the Marashama has a tshuva about that. It's on the Marmakamus. We don't have time to look at it. The Marashama has a tshuva about what happened. He was asked about a museum that has mummies. So are we concerned about Softa? He addresses a number of issues. So it's Mesa Yakum. So either a Paseh Tefach is the Tumah Ganun is Fashid. But what about Softa Malase? So he assumes over there that mummies aren't going anywhere. So if they're not going anywhere, then we're not concerned about Softa Malaseis. Either he's talking about they're never going to leave, or according to some, even if they are going to leave, but they're not going to leave during the time that anyone's there, not during office hours, and it's such a remote possibility, so then you don't have to be concerned about Softa Malaseis. And additionally, this is Rov Akum. So according to some, you don't say Softa Malaseis by Akum anyway. And then he notes the following. This, I think, is the strongest consideration here. He could have started with this, and that probably would have gotten you home free anyway. But what is the shear that's metameh b'tumasoel? So any tiny unidentified remain is metameh b'tumasoel. So take a look at the Rambam. And page number 1, 2, 3, 4 of the Marmakamas. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Parik Beis. The Rambam writes, Atzamos HaMeis She'ein Aleim Basar. So if you have bones of a dead person that have no flesh on them, Imni Keres Behen Suras Atzamos, if they're identifiable as bones, Hare Elim Etamin B'mag B'masa Bo'el. So those bones, if they're identifiable as human bones, so they're metame b'mag b'masa in ba'ol k'meis shalim. Shenikari b'hem etzem adam. Okay. The elu hein atzamos she'ein metame k'meis. So what atzamos are we talking about that are metame as a meis shalim? Hashedra, the spine, bazogolos, and the skull. For ro binyan or ro minyano. So you need either ro binyan, the majority of the bones of the body, for of minyano, or the majority of the mass, or the majority of the number. And what about if you don't have that much? So then that's halacha test. It's all based on Mishnayos. Halacha test. Sharet samo sameis. Excuse me. She'ein behen rov minyan velo rov binyan. But what about other samo sameis where you don't have rov minyan rov binyan, or the majority of either mass or quantity? Below shadow shleim, below gugol shleim. You don't have a full spine, a full skull, a skull. Im haya behen rova hakav. So if you have a rova hakav of atzamos, hare elu metamin kemeis b'maga b'masa uba'ova. So if you have a rova hakav, so then it's metame b'maga masa ba'ova. If it's less than a rova hakav, so then even etzem kasara, even if it's the thinnest possible etzem, it's metame b'maga masa and not b'ohel. And additionally, the Rambam writes, I don't have it here in front of us, but the Rambam writes elsewhere in Paragimel, I think, that even this din of rova hakav atzamos, that's rova hakav atzamos from the same ace. So if you have rova hakav, basar is different, but here basar is not relevant because any basar would have been long decomposed. So basar... When it comes to basar, so this isn't true. When it comes to atzamos and meis, you need a rov hakav from the same meis. If you have a little bit from this meis and a little bit from that meis, a little bit from that meis, and they're all misarved to rov hakav, so that's not a shear. Plus, the Rambam writes Paragim Alacha Beis that this holds in that rov hakav atzamos is metame b'tumasol. Rov hakav atzamos is metame b'tumasol. That itself is only a din d'rabbanan. So, in order to have a bona fide problem here of Tumas Ola consideration, you'd have to have either the full Shedrug of Golos or Rov Minyan. I'm embellishing a little bit what he writes, but if you would have Shedrug of Golos, Rov Binyan, Rov Minyan, you probably would have been able to identify the remains. So we're talking about a much smaller shear. So it's almost it's extremely unlikely that you'd have a Rov Akav of Atzamas from a single mace. And therefore, that itself, he talks about that in the context of Softa Malaseis. We've seen that the whole discussion here of Tumas Ohel is of minimal significance. So we do have 2 minutes left. So Huda asked about stay stay ha. Sada shenachash bakever. Thank you. So, do we have to be concerned in the whole area around the former World Trade Center that maybe there's some remains that are still undiscovered, and a Kohen should have to be concerned about that? So he assumes no. Number one, that old din is only true. That old din is only true if you haven't done your excavation. But if you search for whatever remains are there and you haven't found anything, so then you have to don't have to be choshesh beyond that. So sada shenachosh b'meis, that din doesn't apply once you've. And he points out they spent $35 million on identifying every possible remain. All the remains, so there's very likely nothing left. Even if there was anything left, he can rely on Ravakum and call the parish, and between all of that, he doesn't think there's any reason for Cohen to be concerned about walking around that vicinity.
How much is Ravakum?